And then now, like 15 minutes, and I have the opportunity to look it over. AI can do the heavy lifting and the gathering and most of the work, which used to take 2 to 3 hours a day of writing news stories. It's not just AI gone wild. It's out there running around. It's on a very distinct path, and it knows what to get. There is a lot. It's a whole field that needs to just be harvested. It makes us faster, more efficient, better.
Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Logbook Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Minard. You can find me on social at It's Zach B. In each episode, I bring on experts from various industries for you to learn about their strategies and insights driving extraordinary business growth. Today, we're joined by Jen Austin, founder of Ripley, an AI-assisted intelligence platform built specifically for a local radio station to produce broadcast-ready, hyper-local news content faster and more sustainably without sacrificing quality and credibility. Jen has spent over 30 years in the radio industry, has been heard over 100 stations across the US, and has basically spent role in every role in the industry you could think of, from board operator and host to music director, news anchor, and executive. And then after decades watching newsroom shrink and their budget tightened with the demand for local coverage only growing, she built Ripley to address that gap head on, combining AI-powered story gathering with human editorial oversight to help station keep communities informed in a way that's both scalable and credible. Jen, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. My career flashed before my eyes right there. I was thinking about, you know, cassette tapes and then vinyl, and back in the day, all the technology has changed in the past, you know, 30 years, but it's great to be
here. And it's like an interesting one, because I know we talk a lot about AI. I mean, everyone in the space talks about like AI. It's like, oh, disrupting like all like finance, like all these different industries. But I feel like radio is not one that you hear too often. Like you think about like radio, you're like, oh, no one listens to radio anymore. Well, that's definitely not true. There's definitely still a lot of people listening to radio, and some people literally rely on that to get like accurate news coverage and everything like that. And I feel it's like an important part of the puzzle. And what you're doing with Ripley, we're going to obviously dive all into that, but you're doing some pretty cool, interesting stuff with AI. But what I'd love to understand is how like Ripley actually works in practice. Like, for example, if I'm at a local radio station that, you know, I got my sign on, what does that like experience look like from day one to the moment where my team is actually like putting content like on air?
Well, that's exactly it. It's radio's turn to use AI. And I feel like every industry, from medical and insurance, they're all using AI. And so this is radio's answer for AI. And you would, as a radio station, you would go to ripleymedia.com and tell us about yourself. It's kind of a get to know you section, and it's very customized. And it allows you to tell us not only about your city, you know, but about your community. It could be, I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth. And so we have Dallas, and we have Fort Worth, we have Arlington, we have all these little cities around, and they're all important to local news coverage. And in other cities may not, it may be one city. I grew up in rural Nebraska in the Midwest, you know, it's one town of 7,000 and a town of 600. And then, but you want to cover all those communities. So when you go to the website, we learn about you and you tell us about your area and what's important to you. And, you know, we understand too, that not every city has the same sort of news needs. And it could be an agriculture environment. It could be a very high-tech industry, you know, like California, Napa, wine and tech and everything. So basically, you tell us about yourself, about your community, and about your listeners. And then we use that information to target what you want. And it's just a very, you know, ground up, customized kind of thing that you would build. And then there's an onboarding process. We ask more questions about your community, make sure we understand it. And then at the end of that process, which is really not that long, it's a pretty simple process, couple of days, and then you would get a dashboard and then a list of whatever you kind of scripts you want. It could be news, sports, entertainment news, lifestyle, again, customized. But then that starts loading and it's always generating. And so you just have to tell us what you want and then and subscribe and get it. And so it goes on a dashboard and you can start playing it for your listeners.
Interesting. So it's less of like a one size fit all approach, because obviously depending on like the community, they might have certain things that they're looking for, coverage that they want to focus more on. Maybe you're dealing with a sports city that definitely is more like sports oriented. And then you can like essentially tailor it based on like what they're looking for, from what I could understand.
Yes. And it can be more community oriented local events. It could be hard news. You know, again, you can, the station can customize what they want. I think of a city like Minneapolis, they've had a lot of hard news headlines recently, but they also have, I mean, sports fever right now with hockey and basketball and everything happening, and it's baseball season. So, I mean, they have plenty of headlines, and it's different everywhere. What's important to every city. And we really want to hit that and make sure that we're giving each community what they need.
Yeah. And one of the things I find interesting is, I know you talked about like it generates like this content. And one of the things, and I feel like it's not only applicable to like the radio space specifically, but people sometimes get like turned off by like AI, like generate content. Like they can obviously like tell and like, yeah, that's not really great. And I feel a lot of people, they might hear like AI generated news, and there's maybe like this immediate like trust concern, like people listening are like, okay, is this actually accurate? Is this like actually factual? Mm-hmm. So I'd kind of be curious to hear like what the approach has been, like how to address that, and what is the like human oversight piece actually look like in the like the workflow that you guys have there?
We felt from the very beginning it was very important to have humans involved in and kind of holding the hand of AI and telling it what to do, because, you know, I've been in radio for so long. It was not around when I started, and then it came along. I thought, is it going to replace me? Is it going to replace voices? And how do I know it's accurate? I had the same questions everybody else has. But really, we've built in so many parameters and spent several months and almost a year testing this and developing it and going through trial and error and refining. But we've pretty much, think of it as a long pathway. Like you're walking down a long road and there's woods on either side, but that it's going to stay on the path. And we've told it what we need. It has to answer questions every time it goes out, like the same several questions, and go through a process. And it's not just AI gone wild. It's out there running around. It's on a very distinct path, and it knows what to get. It's like, okay, there, and then I'll look there, and then I'll come back. And do you like it? I'm like, yes, we like it. And so then humans approve, you know, what it brings back. Humans have developed it. Humans have refined it. And, you know, ultimately humans are going to use it. And so it's just, as a tool to make everything more efficient, faster, better, more economical. Yeah. But it's got definite parameters it has to stay on. And so it really, I think it eliminates the problems and the you know, the things that we might've heard about AI doing in the past. It doesn't do that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so true. I feel like everyone has a different perspective on like AI. Some people, it's like, oh, it's going to take over my job. And some other people, like me at least, and I have a feeling you're probably a little bit the same. It's like, no, it's just going to help us be more efficient. It's going to be able to have us provide more value out of the work that we're currently doing. So I definitely see it as like a net plus or like positive for like the world here. That's probably one of like the biggest thing. I mean, if you're a news anchor or anything like that, you got the teamwork and like the back end trying to find like very good stories to like cover. That must be taking like a lot of time, and you always have to be on the lookout for like new things to be able to cover. But if you're able to have a platform like Ripley, for example, you can have it like all in one. It can help you find like very good things to like cover, talk about, and then like you have like the human side of things afterwards. It's like, yes, this is good. No, this is not good. And then just makes you more efficient in the end here. So
it's true. Yep. And that's why humans are so essential to the process and what we've developed, because it's been a lot of me looking at the scripts and working with the developers that are a lot smarter than me. They've got the technical side. I've got the content experience. Like, this is a good news story. This is not so much. And so working with them together in combination, you know, we've, as a human team, we've formed this whole thing, and it's been helpful.
Because you have obviously that like 30 plus years of experience in like the radio space. Like, you've been able to like embed that within like the reasoning of like the platform to know efficiently, like, okay, this is going to be interesting. It's going to be boring. We don't want to do that. And then just make sure that everything is really like relevant here. So I like that. And I feel like there's been a lot of conversation when you're thinking about like the media, the radio space or anything like that, about news desert, like communities. And there's a lot of people that are not too familiar with that. So we'll dive into that in like a second. But a lot of like those news desert communities have basically lost like consistent local coverage. How significant is that problem right now? And what's actually driving it beyond just like the internet happened, to put it simply?
Yeah, the internet happened, and it is a big problem. And it is, a lot of it has to do with economics and just, you know, there's not a budget to cover local news because it takes so much time and it takes so much energy and experience to know what you're looking for and how to write a good story and to reach people and connect. And all of that is a really time intensive process. And it takes a budget, and you've got to pay people to do that. But, and, you know, I, like I said, I grew up in a Midwestern environment, and my dad will go to the coffee shop to get news, or they will get on the phone and they'll call each other. And it's not the most accurate, reliable way to get information because things get a little twisted in that process. But that's it. Smaller places, smaller towns do suffer from a lack of news and a lack of resources to gather the news. And, you know, we gather in big markets, too, and big markets are no exception. They've had shrinking newsrooms for years, too, and it's been a process of just budget cuts. So it is a big problem. News deserts, and just desert means they lack news. They lack an abundance of news and a system for gathering that, but we can help with that. And it's just, I mean, the news is there. News still happens in those places. We know that where to look to find it and to bring it back and to help us connect.
Would you say more so like news desert or form? Because I know you talked about like economy, like being like one of the condition where maybe like the staff is like shrinking. There's like less people out there that are able to gather all like this news and everything like that. But when you have like an AI, for example, that's always crawling, always trying to find like new data, interesting stories, then you're able to make that process like much more easier where you can bring it to teams like, hey, we have all these pieces of content that we can talk about. Like, what are we doing? Like, we're not covering anything. There's so much to be covered. And I feel that's probably like what's happening here.
It's true. And I see some of the things that come back and I think I would never have known this about little, you know, Poughkeepsie. Well, Poughkeepsie's not that small, but some of the smaller communities that it does generate a lot of news. We'll have 20 stories that come back that people don't know about because they don't hear about it, you know, but we'll put three of those into the newscast. We'll put three into the next one, three into the next one, or six, depending on the length of the newscast. But there is a lot. It's a whole field that needs to just be harvested is really what it is, you know, but it's there. Yeah. We just have to find it.
I like that analogy. Like there's the feel. It just needs to be cultivated here.
It's there. It's growing.
You just have to go and get it here. And for like a station, I guess, that's been maybe relying on more of like the national content news network feed for like years. I mean, Fox News Radio, for like an example here. What's kind of like the, I guess, the difference between that model and like what you guys are doing? And why does that distinction like really matter for those communities and the station that they serve?
Well, they're great sources of information. And CBS News is another one that's going away, and a lot of stations are looking for news because CBS has gone away, but they're great sources. They provide sometimes one size fits all types of network feeds. And so it's kind of over the top of it could be a national feed or a state feed or even more regional, but it's usually one size fits all. And we think it's not one size fits all in those communities. It's more of something that needs customization, and it needs someone else to look and to have the resources to look in those markets for other local stories that people are talking about on the local level, but they don't hear reflected on the radio because it's not available from the network feeds. And sometimes they customize a little bit, but we customize a lot more and give people those stories.
And I feel like it's because we are like a PR firm, and sometimes like we'll push out like press releases. And then like, I see like the Fox 27 or something like that, like all these little affiliates of like more like the local like places. And I feel like every time they're just taking the news that the national level is like covering because they have no idea what they're supposed to be bringing to their community. But if they dig a little bit deeper and they cultivate the field, as you were saying, there's a lot of stories out there. You just need to know like where to find them, how to cultivate them, and then put them in the machine so you can get that news coverage to people that obviously want to listen to it instead of just going to listen more to like the natural stuff that they've been like containing themselves with because they didn't have anything else.
And it's really important too. It's a message that you're giving to chambers of commerce and colleges and hospitals and anybody with press releases, you know, with something to say and a message to get out. Put it on the internet, you know, put it in a newsroom on your website and put those press releases out there so they can be found and the stories can be told. And I think this will actually help more stories be told. And it's not just the, you know, surface level, over the top kind of stories. It's really interesting local stories that people can talk about, continue to talk about at the coffee shop or wherever. But it is, you know, there are stories to be told, and we'll find them.
Yeah, I love it. And when we talk about like AI, because that's like something I want to like come back to. I know we talk a little bit about the AI side of things, but when we talk about AI in like journalism, a lot of people, they're going to jump into the again, it's going to like replace reporters. I know we talked a little bit about earlier that you and I probably don't agree that's the case, but you've actually lived like inside of like the newsroom. Maybe live is not like the right keyword here, but you've lived long enough inside of them to know that the reality of that is like a bit more nuanced than that. Where do you actually see like the line between what AI can handle like responsibly and where like a human still has to be in the room? Because I have a feeling it's maybe more AI helps to like pull the content and then the human adds more like the, I'm not sure if emotion it's like the right touch, but like more like the actual reasoning of what's going to be interesting. But I'd be curious to hear your take on that one.
That's absolutely true. And I, you know, we want to be told stories by humans. The human element of storytelling is so important and it's so emotional and there's a connection to other humans. And we want to continue that process. And so, yes, when there are fewer humans telling those stories and fewer local journalists, something has to step in because the pressure doesn't go away. There's still the pressure to tell local stories and to do it well and to relate to people. And so this comes in and you're right. It is AI can do the heavy lifting and the gathering and most of the work, which used to take, I mean, me personally, it's take 2 to 3 hours a day of writing news stories.
A day?
It did, because I was writing so much. And then now, you know, like 15 minutes and I have the opportunity to look it over. Okay, that makes sense. And I like that story. And that's a great one I would not have found probably. And then I've had all that other time to do other things. You know, it frees me up to be efficient with other tasks and then still look over the news. And then, I mean, it's that human element that's going to deliver it and like the frosting on the cake. Okay, all that work's been done. And now we can just concentrate on the pretty part of it and delivering the news and relating to audiences.
Yeah, I was going to say 2-3 hours a day is a lot of time to be spending. Like we're looking at like, I mean, depending if you work on the weekend or not, but just weekdays, that's 10 to, what's my math here? I feel like jumble that math completely, but it's a lot, 10 to 15 hours every single week, just trying to like do research. And if you're able to streamline that, then you can focus on just delivering good news and doing it better, practicing, just being better at your craft, to put it simply. And I feel like that's something that a lot of people are going to realize pretty soon enough, that you can be more efficient in like the radio space, journalism space and everything like that. But just for like maybe like any like stations out there, they're like, hey, my team, they've been doing this for like a while. They spend so much time on doing all this research. What would you be like your advice to them in terms of ensuring that they can deliver great coverage to everyone? They can do it in like a streamlined way. I know obviously Ripley solves a lot of those problems here, but I'm not sure if you have any points about advice or pieces that you would leave the audience with on that.
Well, yeah, it's a huge, the number one, it's a huge time saver it's important enough to say again, it does save a lot of time. So, you know, if a local team of anchors has Ripley writing the scripts, they can just read them. We also have voice opportunities of different voices to plug in. If a station wants to go that route, we can help with voices. So it's the whole package. But it allows anchor staff to branch out into other things too. Maybe they want to cover the local news. Okay, well, we can help with sports, or we can help with lifestyle categories or entertainment news or rock music news or country, and do some of those other things for the station while that local staff is gathering content in a different way. So it can be a team effort, you know. We just contribute to the team, and I'm happy that humans are so involved, and I'm happy that, you know, that local stations still have humans there and they've got anchor staffs and stuff. And so that's not the point, to take away human involvement. It's to add to it and make it more efficient.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because I have a feeling that you probably don't see AI replacing like radio people like totally. You see it more as a like an amplifier, or like helper in some capacity, maybe.
Yes, it just makes us it makes us faster, more efficient, better. It frees us up for other tasks. And I mean, like I said, every industry is using it, and this is radio's answer to that. It just is it's a tool, and it's not going away. You know, it's here to stay. Mm-hmm. So let's harness the power of it, help it work for us, and then we can do other things and be even more effective.
I love that. Is there anything that you feel like I did not ask you that you feel could be like relevant to the audience? That's like one of the things I always like to ask here, just to make sure we didn't leave any nuggets here of advice or anything like that.
No, I think you got it all. I think that's great. You know, like we got the team effort. We got the, there's always discounts, you know, if you want to sign up ripleymedia.com, so you can reach us. And then there's discounts for the first 60 days and to sign up and see how it goes, and no contracts. And so people can, you know, make it work for them and check it out. But yeah, it's been great.
We're going to put that in like the show notes if anyone wants to like, check that out. I know you're starting to be on LinkedIn a little bit, so we'll make sure to put that on there too. And then, yeah, really appreciate you coming on the podcast here, Jen. We're going to put all that fun stuff in the show notes if anyone wants to check that out here. And then, yeah, to our listeners, if you've enjoyed the episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, review, all that fun stuff. Reach out to Jen here. Go to ripleymedia.com. And then, yeah, until then, keep pushing. And yeah, we'll see you in the next one.